Matthew's Gospel 16. Hallelujah. All right, let's see. The question again was that Jesus asked in 13, who or what do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Men said, some said you're John the Baptist, others say you're Elias, others say that you are Jeremiah, others say you're one of the prophets. So, but who do you guys say I am? Who do you say I am? The Bible says, thou art the Christ, answered Peter, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And he says, I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Hallelujah. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's clear, right? So Jesus is speaking about his resurrection. And we say, Peter spoke about Jesus, and in the same breath, Jesus responds to Peter about himself. In other words, like we have been saying, in the revelation of Christ comes the revelation of the believer. So when we behold him in order to see who we are. Hallelujah. And so we've been through that. Now, we said, what is available in the resurrection? What's exactly available in the resurrection? What became ours? What came to us in the resurrection? Earlier today, we explained the term, the kingdom of God. I thought that was clear. And the kingdom of heaven. And we say, in that kingdom, Christ is seated. Now, seated does not mean just like you are sitting right now and you sat on the throne or there's a chair. No. You remember that when Stephen had a vision of Jesus, I think that Acts 7:56 was about, he said, I see the Son of Man standing. I remember when we used to just shout and preach. I said this back then. I said, when the kind of life Stephen lived was so heavy, and I'm shut down. I said, as Stephen, a general, was coming home, I said, Jesus had to stand up from his seat. I was like, so Jesus stood up because the general was coming home. Now I don't see that again. Hallelujah. Jesus sitting is not, you know, John had the vision when he says the Lamb of God that sits upon the throne. Again, it's a vision. Alright? To be seated refers to a permanent authority. It has nothing to do with geography. I told you that. It's not that you are right hand of God means that God is in the middle, then Jesus is in the side of the side. No. It simply means that all authority has been given to him. Is that okay? Now, so Jesus sat. Now, don't forget, was it yesterday? We looked at the fact that all the things that Jesus did, they were prophesied. Remember that? Now, Psalm 110 verse 1, pay very good attention. David said, he was speaking by the Spirit, prophecy. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, seek at my right hand, till I make all your foes your footstool. That's the prophecy David gave. The Lord said to my Lord, seek. And now, that prophecy, was it about the incarnation or the resurrection? Come on, talk to me. What? How many people think that, well, Jesus was on the throne, then he left his throne. Then he left his throne to come to the earth. Then he now returned to his throne. No. Hallelujah. Stop thinking like that. That throne, alright, the Bible talks about, is the place of authority. That's what it is. And so, when you mention throne and authority, what are you talking about? Huh? So we're referring to the kingdom. Right? Come on. Right? The kingdom of heaven. That's why when he came, he said, the kingdom is near. The kingdom is here. So we have the kingdom. He sat down. Now pay attention to some very vital truths. In Mark 16, Mark pointed out something. Remember, again, we said that the four Gospels came after most of the epistles were already written. Get that? So, nobody was trying to be like the Jesus of the four Gospels. Nobody was doing that. In fact, Paul said it emphatically, he had no experience with him in the flesh. Because Jesus wanted his person to be communicated by the Spirit. So, pay attention to this now. In Mark 16, now watch this. Verse 19. He says, "For then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God." So, Mark says that. Then, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Verse, this is Peter now, he's preaching the same text. Look at verse 32. "This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." Who are the we? Who are the we? Huh? It's not us now, those who saw him physically. Right. So he says, "Therefore, being," what is being? A state. "Being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed for this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heavens, but he seeth himself. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make your enemies," that's the word foes, "thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made the same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Hallelujah. Alright, so that's what happened to Jesus when he rose from the dead, right? Come on. Come on, talk to me, right? So he rose from the dead, and then he ascended. Now wait, let's explain this. What the Bible says, he ascended on high, is he talking about, or he seated above all things? Huh? Is it like a, or is referring to authority over all things? Excellent. That is why what we're going to share will not be strange to you if we now tell you that you are also seated. If you had the belief that it was talking about he went somewhere up to seat, then it will be difficult for you to understand that you are also seated. But if you understand, it's not talking about jumping up, but being exalted in authority. Let me see how you follow that. Do you understand that? So that will be clear to you. Because, you know, if you've been reading before the Bible, you know, when you get to the point where Paul says, we are all raised up together, you say, ha, I'm here, I'm in Lagos. How can I be seated in the heaven, in Christ, when I'm here in Lagos? And I look around me, it's Lagos, not heaven. But that's because you don't understand what the scripture was teaching. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Now follow this now. In John 16, pay attention. In John 16, Jesus said that, verse 12, "I have yet many things to say unto you," John 16, 12, "but you cannot bear them now. How be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all of the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come." Now, is he talking about the gifts of the Spirit or about the event of redemption? Thank you. So, He will show you things to come. Now, if we read that today, that means he has revealed them unto us. So, verse 13 refers to what part of the Bible? The epistles. So, in the epistles, he has showed us the things that happened. Now, at the time Jesus was saying it, there were things to come. Now, there are things that have happened. Is that clear? Is that very clear? Come on, guys, is that very clear? So, the Holy Spirit, pay attention now. He will show you things to come. What is he so show you? This is how you will know he's not talking about the gift of revelation, not revelation. He says, he will glorify me, he will receive of mine, and he will show it unto you. So, there are things to come concerning who? Concerning Jesus. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he will take of mine, he shall take of mine, and show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, here, is to reveal the whole truth. And the whole truth happened in 3 days. The whole truth. The whole truth. Hallelujah. The whole truth. And don't forget, we said, nobody was emphasizing the 33 and a half years of Jesus Christ. No apostle did. Hallelujah. No apostle did. Paul didn't even quote Jesus except once. And he was settling a problem. That's how you need to quote it. He didn't quote Jesus. Peter quoted Jesus in Matthew 17. So where did they get the information from? He will show you things to come. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Now follow this. In John 14, I always come back to John 14. In John 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe also in me. In verse 2, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now the word, we said, there are two words that he interplays. He used the word mone, mansions. Mone is a place. A place. Then he uses the word oikia. Oikia is for two things. Oikia is for house of dwelling and also for a household. Now, we have studied and found out that he's not talking about a house of dwelling, but what? A household. In my Father's household, there are many. Hallelujah. Come on, are you there? Are you following this? Come on, are you following this? There are many. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to what? Prepare a place. You know what he said? I'm going to carry bulldozers. Spiritual Julius back. Now I'm going to clear the whole place so that everybody will have a place to stay. Of course not. Jesus is talking about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That is, when I'm raised from the dead, there will be a place for you. There will be an access to the family. Hallelujah. Are you following this? So he says, where I am, there what? Come on, there you what? Be also. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, we must know where he is. If we read the four gospels, would we find where he is? You will never find where he is. Hallelujah. You can. Where I am. Where I am, when I go, there you will be also. Hallelujah. Are you following this, guys? Where I am, there you will be also. So, follow this now. Paul now prayed. He's praying. And you know those prayers, Brother Higgins said that you pray those prayers for every day. There are people that need to pray these prayers. You know, when you pray the Pauline prayers, your prayer points will change. It will change. You start saying, my love, my power, my viewing. That's what looks like threat. My love, my power, more of you in my life, and I will worship you. So if it doesn't give you, you'll not worship him. When someone sings like that, just drag the person to Ephesians chapter 1. Say, let's pray this prayer together. You need to pray this prayer 4 times every hour. He said that he will grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People have asked me, does it mean that he will give us a spirit? No, it is King James. Don't mind King James. He will give you wisdom of the spirit. That's what he's saying. Not spirit of wisdom. Wisdom of the spirit. He had already told you, you have all spiritual blessings. All the blessings of the Spirit. So that prayer grants to your mind. Hallelujah. Your mind. Remember, we said that the walking is God's, the walk is you. You remember that? Alright. So it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance were in the saints. Can you imagine? You are praying to know what is in you. Your eyes have to be open to know what is in you. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought where? In Christ. When? When he was anointed? When he was baptized by John? When? When he raised him up from the dead? Far above all, hallelujah, hallelujah, all principalities and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. So, where is Jesus now? He is far above all principalities and power, might and dominion, everything that is named. So, when it says, where I am, there you will be also. The Holy Spirit has shown us where he is. Hallelujah. Come on, guys, are you following this? The Holy Spirit has shown us where he is. So, remember, the work of the Spirit is not just to show you where he is, it's to also show you in that place. So, how does Paul continue? He says, he put all things under his feet and gave him the head over all things to his church. Glory to God. His body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So in Paul's prayer, the prayer is not as much as seeing Jesus like seeing you. The prayer is to see you. Remember we said, the revelation of Jesus is what? Have you forgotten? Is a mirror. The word of God is a mirror to us. In other words, as we see him, it reflects us back to ourselves. So, there are things you don't say again. Something that makes me come into your presence. Imagine Jesus singing that. There's something, there's something, there's something, there's something, there's something. What is the thing? Hallelujah. Jesus said, my Father dwells in me. Someone said, but I like this song. Don't like it again. That's not who you are. It's a song of deceit. Hallelujah. You are not Moses. You are not David. Hallelujah. No, David then. David is saying, why now? I'm born again now. I'm sorry, brother. You know, just have to explain these things again. You know, they hallelujah. Glory to God.
Well, something that makes me come into your presence.
You came into his presence. How? Explain it in detail. No, there has to be explanation. If you sing that kind of song, please, before you sleep, pray that prayer for 1 hour. That the eyes of your understanding should be what? Enlightened. You know, how many of you have seen those who are not enlightened before? Have you seen them before? Those who are I remember somebody was said, I don't want to mention his town. He went to an elevator and he was knocking. Go, elevator. Why are you laughing? What kind of nonsense is this? You know, the elevator will eventually open. It can take 1 hour, but it will say, he will think the person inside opened it for him. The eyes of your understanding mean enlightened. So you'll not be knocking on the elevators. Praise the Lord. Come on now, look at Ephesians 2:5. Paul. He says, but when we were dead in sins, he had quickened us together with Christ. See, I've been quickened with Christ. By grace. Are you saved? Let's see verse 6 together. Let's go. And has raised us up together and made us sit where? In the heavenly. Don't add the word places. After yet this morning, if you add places, I will place something on your head. He has made us sit where? In the heavenly. Where? In Christ. So, where is he? The right hand of the Father, right? In the heavenlies. Where are we? We are in. Do you know why in is very vital? In is very vital, meaning that where he goes, you go. Do you get it? You are in. If you were with, you know, if I'm here right now and you are with me, it's likely you will be this place. Come on. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me get to, if I'm here, you are with me. You are with me. But if you are in me, if I move like this, that's how you are going to move too. If I come like this, I'm going to move. Come. That means we are. That's why translators couldn't change that word. That word is too spiritual to be altered. In. Say what? Someone say we are in. Say we are in. So we are in Christ. Hallelujah. We are in Christ. How would Jesus have explained that to his disciples? How was he going to say, you are going to be in me? Eh? He mentioned born again. Nicodemus was saying, I'll see my doctor to explain how that will happen. He mentioned you will drink my blood. Hey! Everybody said, yeah. Oh my God. You drink blood? Say you eat my flesh. I was like, he looked at them. Disciples were like, well, to whom shall we go? We told you earlier we have left all. You made us leave all. Now you are saying all this nonsense. He said to them, the flesh profits nothing. So they were in the flesh. He said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. He was talking about the word. But you see, carnal men will always be carnal men. They'll say, hey, blood. So, if the Bible says we are in Christ, it's a position. We are in the kingdom now. Say, I'm in the kingdom? Now. Now, so, remember what he said to Peter. I will build my church. I will build my church. And that's why the epistles, Paul in particular, calls him the head of the church. No other person uses that statement. It's a Pauline revelation. Paul calls him the head of the church. Now this is where you need to pay attention. Please, I beg you, just listen very well. When he calls him the head of the church, what does it mean? I've heard people say that the head cannot have a name, and then the body has another one. Relax. Don't go carnal on Paul. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it cannot have a name. Then the hand has another thing. Then I ask people a question. If it is true that he is the head just like your head, no matter how big yours is, then what part are you? And who's the knee? Because if you can say he is a part, that will mean there are other parts. Listen very well. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul used the parable of the body, it does not mention Christ. It takes Jesus out of that picture. That parable is not talking about, listen carefully now, that parable was talking about ministry gifts. How they work together. That parable, or that example in 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 12 to verse 31, I'm coming there, was not referring to the same thing in Ephesians 5. Remember, in 1 Corinthians 12, he now begins to say, for you to know that he doesn't talk about Christ, Jesus now, he says, can the ear say to the eye? Now, if Jesus is the head, and you think he's talking about the physical head, is there another eye in the head? Come on, guys, are you following what I'm saying? So don't mix things up. So in that context, he was talking about ministry gifts. Now, in Ephesians 5, which is where we should pay attention. In Ephesians 1, pardon me, he begins to explain what it means to be called the head of the church. What does it mean? The head of the church. What does it mean to be called the head of the church? Hallelujah. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, like I mentioned earlier, he said, he gave him to the head over all things to his church. Did you notice in this context, he gave the head to who? Verse 21. After the Bible study is a patient thing. Verse 21. Well, let's read verse 21. Am I and dominion? Not through this world. And then he what? Put all things under his feet. And then what? To where? He gave what to the church? So in verse 22, who is the head of all things? Thank you. Verse 23, which is? Is that clear? Good. So don't read the Bible like, don't always jump things together. You get it? Always look at what he's saying there. So the word head is what? In that context will be what? Authority. Right? To be in charge of something. Right? Now, it's not the same head in 1 Corinthians 12. Do you get it? Now, we're not done. Go to another portion. Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. I think I skipped my notes. Hold on a bit. I try to follow my notes. So be careful. Ephesians 3:10, first of all. Now let's go. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and power, where? In the heavenly, might be made known by the church. What? So who makes known the manifold wisdom of God? Remember we said, why do we have his presence? His presence is not a monitoring spirit. You think I didn't see you? You think I did not hear you? You know, we said it doesn't have to be in a man to know how he thinks. But it's in us to reveal himself to the world. Are you following that? So, now, not just to the world, he says to intent, the principalities and power, we make known to them what? The manifold wisdom of God.
As we are teaching, whatever we are saying, they are listening. They are listening. They are learning. There are some places they don't learn anything. They don't learn anything. How can you be singing and saying, we cry holy, all the angels worship you. What does that mean? You cry holy and all the angels worship you. What was that? You are intruding into angels. How can a child of God say, we are crying holy and the angels are worshiping you? How is that phrase? Hallelujah. You are the true worshiper. You. The true worshiper is the one that Christ calls his conscience. Remember in the morning. Angels learn worship from you. Then we join in with the angels. You're just looking at this ones are not serious. Let me go to another church. I'm joking, really. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we were made known by the church. So why is the church the one making it known? Because he had made the church the head over. Alright. Now look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ. See? Another meaning there. Which is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. So, what does he use the word head there? The word head will mean from. That is, the whole body came from this person. Can you see there are two different things? Come on, church. Can you see there are two different things? The head here refers to where we came from. Pay attention now. That will be clearer now. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. So, is Christ the head over principalities and power? Who? The church. Okay? But Christ is the head of the church. What does that mean? He just said now, because the body came from him. Listen very well. Ephesians chapter 5. Interestingly, Ephesians chapter 5 has been quoted for marriage ceremonies. I also use it. But see how Paul ended Ephesians 5, verse 21. He got to verse 32. He says, look at how he says it. I don't know whether you read Paul's words. Paul's words always, they tickle me. I don't know about you. He says, for this cause, verse 31, a man leaves his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. For which cause? For which cause? He's talking about Christ and his church. He's saying Adam and Eve were symbolic of something. Marriage itself symbolizes. It's not the actual relationship. Okay, let me read that. Look at this. Verse 32. He says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning who? Huh? Now said, nevertheless, that is, in spite of that, let us talk about marriage. Are you following me? So, let's take a trip back and see what he said. Wives, verse 22, submit yourselves unto your own husband. I like this statement because it says unto your own. You know, there are men in the church, in this day and age, that still believe that men are superior to women in Christ. They still believe that. They say a woman cannot preach, a woman cannot pastor, a woman cannot. I said, then what can a woman do? Lead choruses and serve people. That means a woman cannot even win souls. Because the woman, you see a man, I can't preach to you. I can't preach to you. Because Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach a man. So you can go to hell. I'll keep my holiness. Nonsense. Now, look at this. Verse 23. For the husband is what? The head of the wife. Even as Christ is the head of what? How did he describe Christ, the head of the church? He is the savior of the body.
symbols never perfectly represent. He said, he's the savior of the body. There, as the church is subject unto Christ. Notice he didn't say, as the church should be subject unto Christ. The church is subject unto Christ. Not should be. Okay? So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So that means before the church was born, he gave himself for the church to be born. Come on, guys, are you following this? Now follow this now, watch this. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He gave himself. Now, let's take verse 27 together. Let's go. That he might present it to who? To who? What? A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is not a future work. This is something he has already done. Hallelujah. Follow this now. So he says, so men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ the church, the Lord the church. We are members of his flesh and of his bones. We are members of his body. We are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. So he says, the man and the woman are one flesh. The believer and Jesus are one spirit. So, what do you mean by head? Listen now. That means the church came from him. He is the head, meaning is what Paul will call elsewhere the first begotten. He is the first begotten. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Are you following this? Are you following this? You know, in the four Gospels, he's called the only begotten. Really, it means begotten only. That's what it means. Begotten only of Father. He is called the only begotten, referring to his incarnation. But in his resurrection, he is called what? He is called the first begotten. Firstborn. Firstborn doesn't mean like I'm the first child of my mom and my dad. And then we have second child. Then what will you be if that's what Christ means? Some of you will be probably, before it gets to your turn, 500 million child. Right? That's not what he's talking about. Look at this Colossians 1. Why is he called the head? Why? Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 18. Let's read it together. I'll wait for you. Colossians 1, are you there? Let's go. But he is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So he is called the head because he is the firstborn. He is the prototype of the Son of God, raised from the dead. That is why he is the head of the church. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? So he is the head of the church because he is the firstborn. What you call the prototokos in the Greek. The firstborn means the one who is the model for every other one. So everyone that is born again will not be like Jesus. He's already like Jesus. Romans 8:29. He says that we be conformed to the image. Alright? That he be the firstborn among many brethren. That word conformed is a simple word. Is the word somophore. Somophore means to be made like. It's not a process. It's a once and for all event. Hallelujah. So say, we are striving to be conformed to the image of his son. That he will be the firstborn. No. We are not striving to be conformed. We are conformed at the new birth. Hallelujah. So everyone who is born again is conformed to the image of the head of the church and the firstborn from the dead. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Okay, good. So, he's the firstborn. He's the head, and then we are the body. So, quickly, watch this. So, he's the first, like we said. He's the source. Our sonship is found in who? Our sonship is found in his resurrection. If I want to know how, who am I look at the head. I look at the firstborn. I look at the first begotten. Because he is the example of all of God's children. Whatever we find in him, we will find in everyone that is a child of God. That's why John would say, as he is, so are we. I like that statement. He didn't say, as he is, so are we. If he has said, as he is, so are we. I know some brethren. They will say, he's talking about when we go to heaven. You know what I'm talking about. He said, as he is, so are we. Where? 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 So what would change? What else remains? What else remains? What are, what? Nothing. As he is, so are we. He's the firstborn. Praise the Lord. He's the first begotten from the dead. So don't forget. He said to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. That's important. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I will what? Give you. Now, if someone gives you, what do? You receive. The word to receive is an old Greek word, because there are newer ones. It's the word lamban. We also have another one called katalamban. It's an active word. That means the person will do something. Now, wait. He said, I will give you. That means it is given. But you see, there are believers that have not taken advantage of it. They have not. They haven't. For example, those people who want to go to heaven have not taken it. They have not. When you come to collect your people, remember me, O Lord. Remember me, O Lord. Is it heaven you want? Come and collect it. Hallelujah. Don't mind me. Just... So he has given. So what did he give? What did he give? You know, we said Jesus didn't build a factory. He said, you know, guys, I'm leaving you a legacy. So we see the factory. He didn't say, you know, guys, wait, I'm going to give you bottles. If you have that bottle, there's something in there. Just pour it down. All your enemies. When they step on it like this, they do that. Yes! So he gave that. Master, this is just 12. Don't worry. It will be multiplying by itself. He didn't give us Anki. Do you know he didn't give us Anki? He didn't give us shirts. Christian shirts. That when you wear this, you are a child of God. He didn't give us banners. My case is different because I'm born again. He didn't give us combs. Amen. He didn't also give us, you know, he didn't give us the kind of dressing too. This is Christian dressing. So, go into all the world and give this to every man. This is holiness shirt and holiness trust. Nope. What did he give? Where? What did he give? He said to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. How would he have explained to Peter? When Peter was just saying, he was lost. Jesus said, okay, you know what? I'll be killed. They raised the third day. They said, ah! God forbid, bad thing. Return to sender. Return to sender. He said, ah! You that just said, you are the Christ, God, you go, Satan, get behind me. So he couldn't explain to them. But John 14 tells us what he gave. Hallelujah. Are you still there? What did he give? What is the access to the kingdom? What is it? What is it? Hallelujah. You know, we said, what is available at the resurrection? There was righteousness before the resurrection. There was forgiveness of sins. There was healing. Hallelujah. Before Christ died. So what did he give? Look at John 14. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Good, good, good. John 14. Now, you see, in Bible study, you must be intelligent. Everybody is. To understand what I've been saying. He's the head, we are the body. He's the firstborn. That means whatever he has, we have. Don't ever forget that. You get it? So go to John 14. John 14. You know, John, he'd been talking about, where am you be also? So he goes on. Then they ask him a question, where is the Father? He that has seen me has seen the Father. So he says in verse 10, believe thou not that I am in the Father in me, the word that I speak unto you. I speak not of myself, but the Father dwells in me, he dwells the works. You are still following him. Then in verse 16, let's read it together. Verse 16. Let's go. Another what? That he may abide with you forever. Look at 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be where? Now, people of God, you need to listen to this one. It says he will be where? So upon his resurrection, what did he tell us will be given to us? Now follow this. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world sees me no more. You see me because I live. You shall live also. Let's take 20 together. At that day. Now, which day? Which day now? Which day? Sunday? Monday? When the Spirit is given. When the Spirit is given. Now, so let's remove that day and say, when the Spirit is given. Let's go. And when the Spirit is given, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Hallelujah. So, he gives the Spirit of God. What Spirit of God? He said, I will come to you. That is, the Spirit of God will not be different from him. I will come to you. He says, he first said in 17, he said, he will dwell in you. They said, I will dwell in you. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Are you following this? So, what did he give us at the resurrection? What was available unto us? He gave his Spirit. He gave his Spirit. Now follow this. This is very vital. He gave his Spirit. In John's Gospel chapter 7, just a couple of chapters before, John's Gospel 7, see what it says. It says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let's take verse 39 together. Of what? The Spirit, which they that believe on him should what? For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet what? Hallelujah. So he says, I will give you life. Life. Paul says, the Spirit is life. Hallelujah. The Spirit is life to us. That's why we said the Spirit of God is our nature. We don't have two. We don't have two. That's why he says the fruit of the Spirit. How people say the word fruit there? The word fruit there is like a tree. Some of you are growing mango. You are growing, you have this fruit, that fruit. No, brother. No, no, no. The word fruit is used for conception. When I say the child of, Hallelujah. That's why he said the child of the Spirit is. Hallelujah. The result of the Spirit is. In other words, you cannot have joy and not have faith. You cannot have faith and not have long suffering. Because it's a result of a birth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you can be faithful, you can rejoice. If you can rejoice, you can be faithful. It's a life. It's a life. I said it's a life. I said it's a life. I said it's a life. Those are characteristics of one life. Just one kind of life. 995. Somebody was telling me, come and pray for me. I need patience. I want to beat my wife. Stupid men do that anyway. I want to beat my wife. I don't want to beat her. Pray for me for patience. So I said, when did you get born again, sir? So 1969. 69. So that was the day you got all the patience you had in your life. You know, I would have said, you need grace for patience. Uncommon grace for patience. If it's uncommon, then don't take it. Because the Bible calls our faith a common faith. Hallelujah. If it's uncommon grace, don't collect it. The grace of God has appeared unto all. Hallelujah. Don't forget that. Remember, praise the Lord. It's common to us. I said it's common to us. I said it's common to us. So if he has patience, I have it. If he has joy, I have it. If he has long suffering, I have it. Hallelujah! It's common to us. Wait one moment. If Jesus has it, I do too. Imagine Jesus praying, Father, take control. I'm in melancholy. I'm in melancholy. Father, take control. This habit, oh God, you'll be rest assured that is not the Jesus of the Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The Spirit of God is your nature. You didn't get life from your parents. You got life in Christ. Hallelujah. You are born of the Spirit of God. Are you still there? Come on, quickly. Look at this. So, he says, we have eternal life. So, what happened to us? Now, listen very well. There are two dimensions to what Jesus said. Remember, yesterday I said, was it this morning yesterday? God walks in, then we walk in. Now, there are two dimensions. There is the Spirit in us right now. And there's the Spirit through us. Not two. The same Spirit. Now open your ears very well because I'm not done at all. Just open your ears very well. In John 3:3, Nicodemus was saying, you're a great teacher, come from God, no man doeth this miracle of God within. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. In verse 5, he said, except a man be born of the Spirit. Remove the word water, please. You are not Nicodemus. Except a man be born of what? The Spirit. So, are you born of the Spirit? Wait. Are you born of the Spirit? Are you born of the Spirit? Now, if you're born of the Spirit, that means you and the Spirit, you have the same gene. One more. He says, that which is born of the flesh, his flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Now, don't forget, there are spiritual entities that are not born of the Spirit. That's why he says the Spirit. Okay. So, you are born of the Spirit. That means your nature is of the Spirit. Say, my nature is of the Spirit. That's the first thing. What does that mean? Remember we said, Jesus was telling Matthew's Gospel 12, He said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom is come to you. So we said, the kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. The kingdom of God is by the Spirit. Remember that. Come on, you remember that. So if he gives the kingdom to us, he gave us the Spirit. So in giving us the Spirit, he has given us what? The kingdom. Are you following what I'm saying here? Okay, that's why I said, if you are born again, you are in the kingdom. If you are born of the Spirit, you are in the kingdom. Are you still there? Why? Because the kingdom is where? In the Spirit. So, listen carefully. You don't go to the kingdom. I'm going to the kingdom of heaven. No, you were born there. You were born there. You are a citizen of the place. You are a native of the place. Oh, hallelujah. You didn't get me. I said you are a native of the place. That's what you are. You are not born to go there. You are born in there. So, follow that. What does that mean? Remember, Romans 14:17. It says, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. In the Holy Ghost. Now, pay attention. See how Paul explained this reality. You know, Jesus kept telling them, he that believes will receive eternal life. Paul now explains Romans 8:8. Turn there. Quickly. Romans 8:8. You are not in the flesh. Verse 8 says, those that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but where? Where are you now? Where are you now? Where are you now? Oh, come on. Where are you now? Now, what does it mean? Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life where? So you are where? In the Spirit of life in Christ. So life and the Spirit, are they two different things or one and the same? Thank you. So the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ. What? Follow this now. If so be that the Spirit of God does what? Dwells in you. Now, if any hath not the Spirit of Christ, is none of these. Let's take verse 10 together. If Christ be where? In you. The body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Go to verse 14, hurry up. Verse 14. Let's take it together. Verse 14, let's go. As many as are led, they are what? They are what? They are what? They are what? How does this happen? Verse 15. For, you have not what? You have not what? You have not what? The spirit of bondage to fear, but the spirit of what? Hereby we cry. Hereby we cry. Hereby we cry. What is the spirit of adoption? It's an old word, heutethia. It means you are placed in the position of sons. So that means anyone who is a son will be like you. There will be no difference. So we have the spirit of adoption. I've heard people say, well, the Bible says, sons are led. Spirits have inward witness. Stop talking like an ignorant person. He said, we have received the spirit of sons. That's the word adoption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are sons now. How are we sons? By the Spirit. How are we sons? By the Spirit. How are we sons? Verse 16. The Spirit bears witness. That word bears witness means a joint evidence. That is, you can see it here, you can see it there. That's why I said our spirit. That means what is in the Spirit is our spirit. That we are the children of God. Hallelujah. What did Jesus give us? The Spirit of the Son. The Spirit of the Son. The Spirit of adoption. Galatians 4 says, the Spirit of adoption. So we are natural children of God. Did you hear what I'm saying? Say, I'm a natural child of God. Hallelujah. That's what we are. Now, the word son is the word hoios. Hoios is used for an heir. Somebody who has gotten to the point where he can take everything that the Father has. So that means God gave us his Spirit. Now, he gave us the Spirit of what? His Son. So all things are ours. Hallelujah. Remember, Jesus said, I will give you the keys. Now, he's talking to men. He was speaking to them gradually. So, at the very end, he now told them what he was going to give them. What did he give them? What did he give us? The Spirit. So, the indwelling of the Spirit is our access to the authority that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen carefully to that. So, he has given us the Spirit of the Son. So, what does the resurrection give to us? The resurrection gives to us the Spirit of the Son, which is the Spirit of the resurrection. Everything that Jesus became at the resurrection is in the Spirit. Everything. 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 Everything that Jesus became. You know, Jesus was glorified. He was glorified. Everything that he became. So, listen carefully now. When you came up for the altar call, what we call the altar call, and you believed in your heart, what did you receive? Salvation or the Spirit? Come on, talk to me. What did you receive? Huh? As you received the Spirit, what happened to you? No, two things. You became seated. Hallelujah. Come on. You get that? You became what? Seated. At the right hand of God. All things were given to you. Because the Spirit is the Spirit of the Son. Who has all things. The heir of all things. Referring to his authority. So, in this, you are not about to get your authority. At the new birth, you were born into it. You were born into it. That's why Jesus harassed John the Baptist. He harassed him. He said the least in the kingdom. You know, it's a figure of speech because there's no least in the kingdom. He said the least in the kingdom is greater than him. He said, Paul said, John is the greatest of all born of women. Of all. He said, but the least in the kingdom. That is, when you are born of the Spirit, you are superior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's harassing John. Glory to God. So, the first work of the Spirit is what? We are sons. We are sons. All things are ours. Hallelujah. 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 You know, you don't have the Spirit of the Son and you're looking for anointing. Anointing for success, for breakthrough, for breakthrough. No, no, no. You have the Spirit of the Son. Do you know what it means? For yours means that everything is yours. Hallelujah. You can't have it and say, Lord, make me pure in heart. Lord, make me pure in heart. Make my heart faithful and true. Maybe your mind needs to be faithful and true. Because your mind is not renewed. Lord, say Lord. Lord, say Lord. I want you to purify me. You know you are not speaking from the Spirit of the Son. If you are speaking from the Spirit of the Son, what is he purifying in his Son? Because if he has to purify his Son, then we have to check his own gene. Why is your child like this? Why is your child not holy? Why is your child not righteous? Why is your child like this? There's a problem somewhere in my genes. So, I pass it across. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where is our heredity? Where is in the Spirit? The Spirit of the Son. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. 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 There are no chains on that Spirit. No. That Spirit does not go for deliverance. Now somewhere, and I saw someone, he was calling up for deliverance. Five women with long hair. Is it? You don't have long. If you have long hair, come out. If your hair is longer than your shoulder, you have to come out. If you are too black, Jakes will have to come out. If you, and Duni will have to follow. If you are too black or you are too yellow. No, too yellow. They come out. You have unkubus, sukubus. A sister in our fellowship back then, she went for one of to the one of those deliverance theaters. She didn't want to go, but she found herself there. Like, sister, your hair is long. He called her out. So they gathered themselves, all those technicians.
Ow! 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 Yes! 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 Ow!
So she started laughing. He said, okay, good. Manifest. Manifest. You are manifesting. Ignoramuses. Hallelujah. We have the spirit of the Son. We have the spirit of the Son. I said we have the spirit of the Son. We have the spirit of the Son. In John 5, when Jesus was talking, he said, the Father loved the Son, and he reveals all things to him. He said, the Father loved the Son. He has given him authority over all things. So Paul is now talking to the church. Say, know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? Don't say, yeah. You mean we will not stand that great day? All men shall stand before the throne of God and give account of themselves. Which father will bring his children with his enemies or sinners? All of you come together. I don't care whether I'm your father or not. Just come. You will see the real me now. Forget about father. Forget about father here. No, that is not God. Listen. The judgment of this world, it is our family that is judging the world. In our family, we are called judges. We have the spirit of the Son. Hallelujah. So the family will be like this. And we're there. The Father, and then the sons. So where is Jesus? You will not be able to distinguish. Hallelujah. Because we have the spirit of the Son. We don't have the air cut of the Son. We don't have the height of the Son. We have the spirit of the Son. Hallelujah. So we have the spirit of the Son. So you may not feel it. But forget about feelings, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you feel life? You don't feel life. You just act on it. Hallelujah. You don't say, I woke up this morning. Am I feeling like, am I alive? You need a doctor. You just wake up. And you go out. And you put on your clothes. You are, that means, when you under, when, you say, as, oh gosh. As, it becomes an unconscious reality. You are living. Hallelujah. You are living. You're already living. Oh. I said you are living. Hallelujah. Sit down. So when somebody says, there's somebody here, God is saying he's angry with you. It can never be you. It can never be you. Say this. There's somebody in your family. You say, your family. He said, in your family, you always try to rise, but you fall down. He said, it's not us. We rose together with Christ. We don't fall. Hallelujah. So I said, in your family, which one were you thinking about? I said, you have the spirit of the Son. We're in that household now. Hallelujah. So, the working of the Spirit is that we are sons. We are the wheels of God. All things are ours. He gave him to the head over things to the church. Amen. Gloria Copeland said something that blessed me. She said, while we are waiting on God, he's waiting on us. How can someone give you his spirit? They are asking him. Do something new in my life. What else should he do? Do something new in my life. Something marvelous. if you like, use every adjective you have. He has done what he will do. If you like, cry. Do it again. Do it again in my life. Open my eyes to see Jesus. We see that upon the throne. See your life. We are seated in Him. Then the Spirit walks through us. Pay attention. So that's where I'm going. Hallelujah. The Spirit walks through us. Recall that that was the explanation. I'm going to do my best in this session, but because of time, I just rush through this. He now begins to talk about the Spirit walking through. Now, Kenneth Hagin, who I learn a lot from, he always teaches about the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. Very beautiful explanation. But you see, the language of Paul never says the Spirit upon. The word Spirit upon can only be found in Acts of the Apostles. Because upon is not the term of the New Covenant. In is the term. Now, but there's nothing wrong in using the term upon, because it was Luke that used the term upon. And that is like an eyewitness account. The word upon means we saw something or we heard something. But really, the Spirit was not upon them. The Spirit was in them. You won't find anywhere in the epistles used upon. Because Jesus said he will live in you. Every time you see the term upon, it relates to ministering to us. Now, we have a series out there that can bless you a lot. In the Spirit and by the Spirit. I think it's about 40 sessions or so of study. And that will be clear to you. I'll just touch some things that are in there this afternoon. Now, follow this. So, where is the Spirit? In us. So, the work of the Spirit is twofold. We are sons and we are also able ministers. So, there are two things, just like Jesus. There are two things. We are sons and we are also ministers of the Spirit. Pay attention here. Now, don't forget again, everything in the kingdom is where? In the Spirit. Good. In Ephesians 1:3, the Bible says, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places where? In Christ. Now, the word spiritual, I want you to notice, because I'm going to explain something in a moment. Now, I want you to pay attention. He said, in heavenly places, in Christ. So, note that. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, run there quickly. Quickly. 1 Corinthians 12:7, quickly. I'm going to do something that is miraculous now. I'm going to run fast. So, when I say that, you've got to be on your toes. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Can we read it together? Huh? The what? The what? Is what? What is the word manifestation? The word manifestation is the word phanerousis. Is used for nakedness. Okay? That is, there is a full disclosure of the Spirit. That is when you can't have a manifestation twice. Because manifestation is already full. So, why did Paul use the term, the manifestation of the Spirit is given? Put that somewhere and come with me. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Don't forget, everything about the kingdom is where? Is where? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Is not anki and oil. Is not water and bread and wine. The kingdom of God is in the spirit. Hallelujah. Now, we can transfer our authority into Anki. But that is us. It's not God. God didn't put his spirit in oil or Anki. It's man that does it. It was Paul that put power in Anki. And you can do the same. Hallelujah. God's power is in his spirit. Haven't said it's wrong to pray. Tonight I'm going to pray on handkerchief. But I'm the one that put it there. Hallelujah. God didn't put it there. So you don't say, this handkerchief is. Oh, is the glory of God. You need prayers. You'll find people praying in the water. They pray in the water. That shows you the kind of authority that we have. They pray in the water. They say, pray in the water. They put the authority in there. Jesus spat into somebody's eyes and he gave glory to God. Pwah! You have to thank you, Lord. After people were dumb and I spoke in their mouth, speak! Pwah! And they spoke out. They took the saliva like that. Power. Hallelujah. That's power. Hallelujah. I like one in Apostle Ayi Babalaji one time. He went to pray, so he saw a demon spirit. He said, stop there! He said, wait for me, I want to finish praying. He finished praying, he said, follow me! Then he said to the wife, have you ever seen a demon before? He said, no. He said, your eyes be open, see one, he's one here. He said, go. Yeah. Someone say, ah, oh, see anointing, see your see. It's not anointing. It is the spirit of the Son. That's how sons act. Hallelujah. That's how sons act. If Judas, Abba, Judas cast out devil. Oh. Judas. Even a guy that was not a part of their church cast out devils. Oh. Judas. Even people. Who Jesus said, I never knew you. They said, we cast out devils. And you are there. Not cast out one. So casting out the devils is not a senior level in the faith. Even those that didn't get born again did it. Let's go somewhere, Gary. 1 Corinthians 12. Are you learning something? Verse 1. Now, concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, pay attention to this now. When it says, now concerning spiritual, the word spiritual doesn't have a single meaning. It has several applications. It's the word pneumaticon. You have pneuma and ticon. Pneuma for spirit and ticon. T-I-K-O-N or pneumaticos, depending on the grammatical connection you want to use, but he said, I would not have you ignorant. Now, this is a bit confusing if you don't understand what Paul was saying. If you go to chapter 2, he already said in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians 2, of 1 Corinthians, he says that we have received the Spirit of God that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Then in verse 13, he said, with things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom, or with man's wisdom teacher, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, doing what? Comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. So he calls the person who is born again what? Spiritual. So the man who is born again is spiritual. Why? Because the word spiritual simply means of the spirit. Are you following that? So he says, the spiritual man, that is the man that is born of the Spirit, he judges all things. He himself is judged of no man. So, in 1 Corinthians 2, everyone that is born again is called what? Huh? Why? Because we are born of the Spirit. Now, in 1 Corinthians 3:1, he now says, how is it, brethren, when I came to you, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So, spiritual there now refers to conduct. He says, I couldn't speak unto you, and even though it was a figure of speech called the oxymoron. When you use an opposite object to describe an action. Ah, why are you acting like an animal? The guy is not an animal, but his behavior is like that. Now, they are spiritual because they are born of it. That's why there's nothing called carnal Christian. There's a carnal conduct of a spiritual man. Hallelujah. You cannot be carnal and be Christian. Carnal means of the flesh. If you are of the flesh, you cannot please God. You don't have the Spirit of God. But we are not of the flesh, but we are in the Spirit. However, there are brethren whose behaviors, their minds are not renewed. So their conduct is called of the flesh. So he uses the word sarkinos and sarkikos. That is like the flesh. Like. That is to resemble the flesh. But we are not of the flesh because we are already born of the Spirit. Let me see if you understand that. So, spiritual there is conduct. So, spiritual in 1 Corinthians 2 is what? We are born of the Spirit. Spiritual in 1 Corinthians 3, there is now talking about their conduct. Now move further. In 1 Corinthians 15, okay? In 1 Corinthians 15, he used spiritual for the glorified body. For the glorified body. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 46, that which is spiritual. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. What does that mean? A body by the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:11. A body by the Holy Ghost. Okay? Galatians 6:1. If any be overtaken by a fault, let them that are what? Conduct or nature? Huh? Conduct. Are you following that? Good. Now, in Ephesians 1:3, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, or heavenly Christ. Now, the word spiritual blessings mean what? The blessing of the indwelling of the Spirit. Is that clear? Not, you have spiritual blessings, come and manifest them in the natural. Stop talking like that. Hallelujah. They are blessings of the Spirit. So, can you say the word spiritual has different applications? Let me see if you understand what I just said. Again, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, that is spiritual songs. Songs from the Spirit, which already includes tongues. Okay? So, go to 1 Corinthians 12. Also Colossians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 12 now says, now concerning spirituals. That word concerning is the Greek word peri. P-E-R-I, which is used for subjects. Particular. Subjects. Particular. So that means, he's saying, I'm going to talk about something particularly about the Spirit. We already have nature. Conduct. We already have nature, conduct, body. So now, he wants to discuss a subject in our spirit. Are you listening? He wants to discuss a subject where? Huh? A subject in our spirit. A subject in us. So he says, now concerning spirituals, the way I will translate that today, I will say, now concerning this spiritual, because they have to be particular, I will not have you ignorant. So, he begins to discuss. In verse 4, he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, I've told you before, Paul does not use the word gifts of the Spirit. He doesn't use that word. The writer of Hebrews, okay, used gifts of the Holy Ghost in Hebrews 2:4. And that word is merismos, which I can tell you means ministry gifts. But Paul was talking about charisma. So, if we're going to talk about that, we say gifts in the Spirit. Abilities. Now, the term charisma
was using ancient gifts for entertainment, art, literature, something to show others, oratory, intelligence, hard work. Paul is saying we actually have our own talents. And it's where? In the spirit. Don't say, bring your talent. Let's do talent show in the church. Stop confusing Christians. Don't compete with Martina. Okay? We're not competing with Martina. I told you, Jesus did not die. He rose from the dead. He gave you his spirit to do entertainment. No! The kind of entertainment, which is not entertainment, the kind of that we have is by the Holy Ghost. He says, now there are diversities of what? Gifts. The word there is diaresis. Diaresis means just one thing, but you can see different things in one thing. He says, the same spirit. Now, where is that spirit? Don't lose me now. Where is that spirit? Huh? First Corinthians 12, look at it. Where? In us. So, where do we have diversities of gifts? Huh? Where? Where? In the Spirit. Now, verse 5. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Ministries of what? Ministries of the gifts. Are you following that? Because that word there is diakoneia, to serve. The ministry gifts are ministries that serve the gifts of the Spirit. What makes you a minister of the gospel are the gifts of the Spirit. Come on, let me see if you're following what I'm saying. Come on, are you following this? Are the gifts. Now, in verse 6, he now says, there are diversities of operations. Operations of what? Of the gift in the ministries. The way they are worked. You know, Paul is a beautiful writer. Before you now start thinking, what do I have? What do I have? He now says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. What is manifestation again? Full disclosure. To every man to profit with all. So, in 1 Corinthians 12, let me run through this. From verse 8 to verse 11, he discusses what we can call now the gifts. Then, he gets to verse 12. He now begins to talk about the ministries. That is why he begins to talk about the eye, the leg, and the, you know, he's talking about the ministries. Just like Romans 12, 4, down to 7 and 8. Hallelujah. Now, pay attention here. So, we have the gifts. Where are the gifts? Huh? In the spirit of every believer. But, the ministries will differ. I don't have any gift of the spirit that you don't have. Where we differ is the ministry of those gifts. Come on, are you there? Come on, are you following what I'm saying? That is why he now used the physical body to explain that. He didn't go into all that in Ephesus. He just said, gave some apostles, some prophets, he just said that quickly. But here, he had to be, because he said they were carnal. He said, can the eye see? Oh, it's true. Okay, can everything be the eye? No. Are all? No. He's talking to babies. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 12. One more time. Are you learning something? Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. Say, we are the body of Christ. Members in particular.
And God has set some in the church. Firstly, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Now, I'm going to give you a small test. Look at that verse. Read verse 28 to verse 30. What can you see there that is different? There's something you should note. Verse 28 to 30. You know, it listed apostle, prophet, and teacher, then workers of miracles, gifts of healing, helps, government, and diversity of tongues. Then it begins to say, all. Are all. What's different there? You notice it does not repeat helps and government. Are you listening? Go and get that. What I think we have concerning utterances, I explained that a bit. Does not repeat helps and government. What else? It does not repeat what? Diversities of tongues. Verse 11 says, all this worketh the one and self same spirit, dividing to every man. Right? That's the gifts. But the ministries are different. So, pay attention now. I have to run. No, I'm thinking of more tomorrow. So, he doesn't have helps and governments. So, he says, are all what? Huh? Now, let me ask you a simple question. Are all what? Is it, you know, because those are ignorant people and want to put people in bondage, they use this verse to stop believers from speaking in tongues. So when it says, are all, it says, God has set some in the church. Gifts or ministries? Gifts or ministries? If you were speaking before, wake up now. May God make you stay awake now. So, he has stopped discussing gifts in the spirit. He's now discussing what? Okay. So, can we help the King James to say, are all ministries apostles? No. Are all ministries? Because he had said that earlier. If is all the body the eye? Is all the body the ear? So, he's discussing ministries. Now, pay attention. He now says, do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? That is, he unbundled diversity of tongues and now tells you what it means. Do all speak? Do all interpret? Now, were those questions or submissions? They were not questions. So, but let's just run. Look at the next thing he says. Look at the next thing he says. But earnestly do what? Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I've heard you say the more excellent way is love. Oh no. No. He's not discussing love at all. Now, he said covet what? Covet the best. Right? So he says, I will show you the more excellent way. So he begins to talk. The first thing he talks about is what? Though I speak. Right? Okay. Go to chapter 14. He says, follow after charity. That's love. And desire what? No. Desire things of the Spirit. But rather that you may what? That you may what? That you may what? Now, Paul taught nine things. He mentioned nine things. But he only explained. He majored on what? 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 So when he says desire the best gift, he said desire what? Wait. He has said some in the church. What did he say? Tongues and interpretation is a ministry in the church. For who? So if you have no ministry at all, you have one. Tongues and interpretation. Are you listening? Should I say it again in Yoruba? So, in 1 Corinthians 14, he now begins to explain. And it took time to teach tongues plus interpretation of tongues, which I'm going to major on from tonight and then tomorrow. Hallelujah. He says, I will that you all speak with tongues and that you all prophesy. So, every believer that is in Christ, he has a ministry of tongues and interpretation of tongues. That is a primary ministry of all believers. So when he begins to speak, he says, he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands, howbeit, I'll close here, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. He says, he that prophesies, 1 Corinthians 14:3, he speaks unto men for edification, for comfort and exhortation. He that speaks in tongues, he says, speaks to himself, he edifies himself. He said, greater is he that prophesies. Why? Because he says the man edifies the church. He said, if you, it's good to speak with tongues, but you see, except you interpret, that the church may receive what? Edification. Hallelujah. So, what is the more excellent way? Huh? What is the more excellent way? What did Paul call the best gifts? The utterance gifts. That's what he called the best gifts. Now, I want to round off by explaining something to you quickly. Now, listen. So, every believer, we're going to study 1 Corinthians 14. Paul taught every believer has the ministry of the utterance gifts. Every believer. 1 Corinthians 14:39. He says, forbid not to speak with tongues. Covet to prophesy. Let all things be done decently and in order. We have a teaching out there. Decently and in order. Paul was not saying decently and in order means you are quiet. No. Decently and in order is tongues plus interpretation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So every believer has a ministry of tongues and interpretation. Every believer. See, I have a ministry of tongues and interpretation. You know, he rounded up by saying, do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Then he says, desire the more excellent, the best of gifts, the best gifts. But he answered us in chapter 14. He said, you all speak with tongues. You all interpret. That is the ministry of all believers. All. Now quickly, follow this.
Do you know that all the other gifts were in operation before Jesus died? Are we back there again? Are we back there again? All the other gifts were in operation. What were the two gifts that were not in operation? So they have to do with the resurrection. And that's why, that's what Jesus called the promise of the Father. Are you there? That's what he called what? The promise of the Father. Hallelujah. That's what he called the promise of the Father. He said, wait. Now, when he told them to wait, they were already born again. We wait. And they waited. What happened? Acts 2, 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And there came a sound from heaven. Where is heaven? So where did the sound come from? Hallelujah. You thought the sound came from above? Oh. The sound came from them. As of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were seated. So they filled the house. The Bible says, there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, set upon each of them, and they began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. What is the promise of the Father? Utterance. Say, I have a ministry of speaking. 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 So we're going to investigate this. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you sure you're ready? Are you sure you're ready? Lift your hands toward heaven and worship God. Thank you. Bless him. Bless him.